Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. What did you expect?
Hello and welcome back to the You Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Jared Freed. Such a pleasure to be back here.
So exciting.
So, you sound pumped.
Every week is more exciting than the last.
I don't know how we're
going to get better at this every week, too.
We're getting really good. Yeah. And that's the feedback. The feedback, a lot of the new feedback
is... worked it out.
Yeah, that we are, you know, we're a great mix together and it sounds like we've been on the podcast airways for years.
And we have, just separately.
Yes, separately. Yes. Two ships flying by each other in the night. But now we're together, and we're here at the You Up podcast. And we just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for spreading the word. You guys are unbelievable. Just keep pushing it out. And that's the way this keeps going.
And keep emailing us at uup@betches.com. That's uup@betches.com. I read every single one of your emails, and I pick the best ones, and we read them here. But... keep emailing. Just because it hasn't been answered yet doesn't mean it won't be answered.
And soon. The best way to get on this podcast, if you want your question answered, nuance. We want, you know, specifics. We want to hear what's going on, but with some editing. So keep it short.
The necessary details about a dating issue of today's modern times.
Totally. And the only way to make sure this keeps going is to rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, and keep making it your Instagram story. That really is a I don't even know what word I was going to say at that point. Stupendous?
It's stupendous. Spectacular.
Superb way. I would never use the word superb. Superb way to spread the word is to take a screenshot of the phone right now. Pause it. Take a screenshot. Then post it as your Instagram story and let us know. Tag us. I'll send you a heart.
They're perfect in every way, but they say superb about everything.
Yeah.
they describe everything as superb.
I gotta not. That's a red flag.
It's a red flag.
If you met a guy that was a big superb guy, would
superb.
You date him?
It depends. It depends almost like the inclination that they put it. Superb, like you like superb, like this is fine. Superb. That's kind like of how they, you have to say it.
Like that's their tagline. It's like Crystal when she tried to make glitter happen.
Yeah.
Are you watching
The
Bachelor?
Yeah, I am. That was a very bad attempt on her part. Yeah.
You could tell she was like, okay, here's my big T-shirt merchandise moment. Yeah. Everything is glitter.
What was the Corinne one?
Oh, she had one too.
My vagina is platinum or something.
I mean, it banged her.
I don't know. It worked for a while. Yeah. I don't remember it now.
All you need is a year.
Exactly.
And let's say you go on a date with a guy.
Okay.
And after you order, the waiter looks at you or waitress and they go, "All right, so I got the jalapeno poppers and I got you with the salad and him with the steak." And then he looks at me and goes, "Superb."
He says it once, it's fine.
But that's his ending to everything.
No, that's weird.
It's weird, right?
That's weird, yeah. I'd have to be like, why? I'd have to call him out and ask him why he likes that.
I'm a big user of the word perfect. Some people get annoyed by that.
Perfect is not bad. Like, what about golly?
Golly?
Yeah.
What year is it?
Golly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
golly
like totally out of date, weird, or they keep saying on fleek.
No. I hate when people use terms.
Outdated terms.
Or terms that are dated. Like, they're just trying to keep up with whatever terms. You're old, bitch. You're out of it.
It's like, weird.
Oh, yeah. On fleek. In a joking way, I get it. But
if they're being ironic.
If they're just, like, seriously just using every, like, they're, like, just on board with every trend.
Yeah. Even, like, just, like, I feel like, in terms of syntax, just, like, even cheesy shit kind of annoys. Like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, come on.
Like there's
what are we in Utah?
That's what I'm saying. There's like something kind of, it's a New York thing. It's just like kind of creepy
you can just always tell when someone is using words they never use. Like me saying the word superb just felt wrong.
It felt weird.
Weird. Yeah. And then a lot of
stupendous.
Stupendous. Girls on dating apps do this a lot where their bio seems like it's been written by an SAT tutor. where they're just doing...
That'd be a good social experiment. Have your SAT tutor write your dating bio.
Well, I want to wander New York City and go on adventures. Right. And it's like, I'm adventuring.
Yeah, this is really a tale of two cities.
Yeah.
Just write like a normal 2018 human being.
Yeah, just write, I just want to fucking walk around and and look at people.
I just want to walk around, stop by a restaurant, have you buy me shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want pancakes for the table after we've made an order.
There you go.
Let's do some emails. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Do you want me to do the first one?
Sure.
J&J, thank you so much for doing this podcast. You've totally changed the way I look at relationships and casual hangouts in general.
That's a compliment.
Wow.
If I've ever heard one.
Changing this country. Make America date again.
I love that.
I think that should be our byline. I've seen that other places.
Oh.
I want to be honest with the audience. That was my adventure and wander.
You know, I prefer if you just steal the jokes and don't attribute them. It makes things simpler.
I'm a chubby Jewish, not a fat Jewish. Last semester, late September. It's funny to call things last semester when you're out of college. Like, this person's probably in college, but like even thinking of... I still think of time as college time.
Yeah.
Do you too? Like, if something happens September, are you like putting that side by side with like, yeah, fall semester?
So yeah, I'm thinking like junior year, second semester, like that was a great semester for me.
Oh no, I'm talking about like an adult. Now you're an adult.
Oh, you're thinking
woman.
About life in terms of semesters.
Yeah, like if someone's like, yeah, we're gonna do it in June, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's when the semester's out. You know, like
You went on a swiping app date.
Last semester, late September, I went on a date. It was from a swiping app with a guy, and we ended up hitting it off and hooking up that night. We ended up hooking up around 4 more times over the next month, not that she was counting, and every weekend, a month and a half every weekend, and each of us reached out to the other, not one-sided thing. This wasn't going towards a relationship as it was all just sex, but we would randomly snap each other and sometimes send snaps back. The last time we hooked up, late October, he picked me up from the bar and we went back to my place. I was incredibly drunk. After we hooked up, me and my roommate were yelling at each other. When I came back to my room, he was getting dressed and in a rush to leave to go pick up his brother to keep him from driving drunk, and was very frazzled. So I definitely believe that was the situation, not a lie, to get out after my fight with her. He didn't come back after whatever he had to handle or avoid. I was a little clingier. That night in my behavior than in the past, so I'm pretty sure that's what deterred him and made him ghost me after this night. I texted him the next week and no response. My concern and advice sought out is because we live in a small college town where I am a grad school 23 and he's finally finishing undergrad after plenty of frat laps.
Wow.
25?
He's still in college.
He just graduated. I hope he did his.
Wow.
I hope he was in the army or something.
What is that Van Wilder's movie?
That's Van Wilder. That's the movie.
Wow.
I love the leeway he's giving.
What's a frat lap?
That's when you do another year.
Oh, okay.
But this is another 4 year. If he's in the armed services, then I'll allow it. There's only a couple of bars people our age go to. I know I will run into him at some point. I'm not really sure what I should say or how to behave to someone that ghosted me. I'm not sure that hooking up again is out of the picture to him because he didn't delete me on Snap and will occasionally watch my stories. I'm not saying that I won't.
The bar is so fucking low.
It's so low. I was just thinking the same fucking thing. Like, you might want to hook up again. He subtly watches me from behind a bush.
Presses the button.
I'm not saying that I want to hook up with him. I probably would if I was drunk. But I'm just not sure what a casual thing to say to someone in this situation. Thanks. We laugh because we understand.
Yeah.
So understand that we understand. Like, what she's saying is the bar is low, and we're not saying she's wrong for having the low bar. It's just the reality. Like, the fact that she's like, yeah, I like this girl. Like, I like the...
She's being real about it?
She's being real. She's not... I'll go back on one of her things that she said. The idea that... Oh, I was clingier that night, so that's why he's gone? No.
Well, I think she's probably like, I think when a girl thinks it's like something they were doing around, or I was clingier that week, they're like, girls can sniff out when someone's pulling away.
Oh, totally. But they also make the reason something that is less horrible than our personalities don't match.
Right.
She's looking for a reason that's easier to blame than, yeah, we just didn't connect.
Right, which is sad because I feel like the we just didn't connect is so not personal and like such a better, less horrible.
It's totally not personal, and I agree with you, and I would take it that way. I think it's all about perception. I think her perception is, I think a lot of people when they're like, we're not the match, it's I'm not the match for him.
Right.
Which is a bad, I think. You got to get out of that mindset.
It's almost like you're not the match. One person always just realizes it sooner.
Yeah.
Someone's always got to know. It's very rare that two people realize at the exact same moment that they're not right for each other.
Don't you wish, don't you wish that every time you've gone to end something with someone, they just look at you and go, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I kind of.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think like that, that very, very rarely, it does happen. It's very rare.
Very, very rare.
But it's the kind of thing where it's like, it's like the two people are usually just not a match, not right for each other. And the person who realizes it second is the person who's like super hurt. But if they had stuck it out and that person didn't realize it, that other person, they would have eventually gotten it too.
The dumper is doing the favor.
Yes, you're really
I'm very on that.
And very into the dumper sympathy.
Because a lot of guys get put in the position. Women will just hang around a lot of times. They'll look
because they're looking for the answers.
They're looking for the answers. Mm-hmm. They're saying, how can we solve this? And they, you know, there is a certain hero in that.
Well, you're saying there's more in it for commitment for women.
Totally. So, and they're saying, I don't want to be single. I just want to be, this is more comfortable than the world out there that's full of dick pics. And I get that.
Right.
A lot of guys get put in the position where, all right, well, you know, the dumper is usually 2 weeks ahead, I think.
Right.
At the very least. And I think for her, this guy was like, I'm having fun. This will probably be the last time. And then he saw the fight. He had the thing that he could get out of there. Mm-hmm. He's probably a little embarrassed with how he left.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world where this guy is like super mature and not 25 and still in college, he probably sends you a text. Hey, like, don't think this is going to work out. Had a good time hanging out, blah, 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 whatever. He sounds like he's a little immature, so he didn't give you that, so he did the ghosting thing.
We can safely assume that the 25-year-old who's just graduating college is a little immature.
Just a tad.
So I'm going to assume that.
Yeah, but this question, the bottom part of the question, which is how to approach the ghoster, we've actually gotten a few questions along those lines how do I respond to a ghosting? Am I supposed to call someone out? Am I supposed to just allow them to ghost me? We had a different question that came up recently that I didn't include, but sort of along has the same sentiment of this is like, why should the ghoster be able to get away with ghosting? Like, how do I inflict my revenge?
I hate that so much. I mean, can we just agree that the person who ghosts is a lesser person than us?
Right. And that's really the punishment in itself, I think. Well, it's like, and I think a lot of people have that in breakups. They're like, why should I be, I feel all this pain, right? I feel all this, I feel so shitty. And this person just gets to like go on with their day as if they didn't just like fuck everything up for me. But I think
I've ghosted. Let me say something for the ghosters.
Okay.
It doesn't feel good. Ghosting sucks. That's why I've ghosted once in my life and like seriously ghosted someone once in my life. I'm sure there's someone
else. What is a serious ghosting? The relationship was relatively intense.
We were fucking and then we were not.
Okay.
And I will say as the person, and listen, you got to feel something to change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pants have to not fit for you to lose weight.
The joke has to bomb.
The joke has to bomb for it to get better. This is all connected. Okay. And I will never ghost again because let me let everyone know that like the ghoster doesn't just go out there and have a good time. The ghoster goes out there and fears seeing you for like ever. So
is that why it feels shitty? Because you're scared to run into them?
Because then you're like, oh, I know I did the wrong thing. I know I did the immature thing. If I see this person, I have to admit to it. I got to be like, got me. You know, like I have to like get into it. I have to apologize. And I have to look at someone in the eye that knows I'm a toddler. And I think, and that's why I've stopped. I didn't do it again because I was like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to feel that way. I'd rather just get it out there and, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and be like, hey, it's over and have them go, well, I didn't need a breakup. I'd rather that response than no response, than nothing.
Because then there's that like unfinished weird energy out there that like
totally
just like fucks with you, I think.
I think anyone who's been ghosted, I think you have the right to text someone, hey, would have enjoyed some sort of text letting me know that you are done with this because I felt like we were still going.
Right.
And I think you have the right to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a right, and you might disagree. to be the fucking, you know, pain detective that's gonna figure out the case, and you gotta go and put this person behind bars. I gotta figure out a way to get this guy. Yeah, this isn't your responsibility.
Right.
This isn't who are you at the mm-hmm. at the faster you realize you've been ghosted, the more free you are.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, you know, own that and move on. And move on. Send your text. Get your word out and be like, hey, would have liked some sort of heads up that you weren't into this anymore. Good luck with your life. That's what I would send. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You have a right to send that.
Right.
But don't sit there and look for a way to be like, you know, this pained. I just think of this like detective character that's just out there like, got to get my last case. Got to put him behind bars. My white whale. And it's like you've just spent months on something that this guy is only spending time on it is when he's out at a bar and thinks he sees someone. That's
right.
And if I were her and you don't want to send that text, like if I always say go through awkward, not around awkward. That's my advice to people. So I would say to her, you see him at the bar that you see everyone at. Hey, what's up? How you been? I go in with kindness.
Right.
I go in with a strong hello.
Nothing says that you like are past and better than someone than just like taking the higher road.
Totally. And at first, you have that moment where you're like, fuck this person. I want to fucking let them know. And then you get over it and you're like, oh, I feel better for not even fucking getting into it.
It's much easier when you're sober. But yeah.
Totally. And and even if you went up to them and go, hey, where you been? Like, that's a funny.
So is your phone not work? It's so weird.
Yeah. I think to fuck with it is funny, but like fucking with it shows
a casual way.
Totally. Yeah. And fucking with it shows a level of maturity that this guy doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, and then don't fuck him.
Like,
fuck with it, then don't fuck him is the real advice.
I feel like also there's like this thing with like for the ghoster, there's nothing like they're doing it because they think they're going to have to like deal with you.
Sure.
So
it's an
like,
ego thing.
Right. And then it's almost like when you show that you like you brushed it off and you're like fine and like you're not someone who would have reacted that way, mm-hmm. they feel like so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They're like, oh, I wasn't the man that made you want to like
go off the deep end and like flip the fuck out.
Totally.
Right.
Then
they feel shit. You ever get into like a fight with someone and then they come to you and they're like, hey, like, sorry. And you've like been all angry at them. And then you're just like, oh, like this person like isn't like this villain that I've created.
Yeah.
And now I feel weird.
I think all this is like our own shit that, you know, when you point the finger at someone, there's three pointing back at you.
Right.
So it's like you're pointing the finger at them being like, you fucking asshole. You didn't even fucking give me the nicety of a text. You fucking piece of shit. When at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm just dealing with my own shit.
Right.
And if this girl sees him in a bar, just know that whoever does the ghosting is the piece of shit and knows they're the piece of shit. So if you go up to them in a way that you're a mature, strong person, even though maybe you're faking it a little bit, because we can't tell you to be more mature, we can't tell you to be more confident. But if you go right up to them, you'll feel a lot better.
Right.
If you're
but
just
don't
like,
hook up with him.
Yeah, don't hook up with him again. I mean, there's other penises out there that will let you know that they don't want to fuck you.
I think that's almost like her big fear. And I think a lot of girls get caught in this like sort of trap with that kind of thing, especially if a guy is like in their scene or in this case like at your college where they'll be kind of like the guy just keeps treating them terribly. But then they're almost like drunk and they wanted the answer and it turns into the attention. And then like they wind up doing something that like depletes their self-respect. I think that's her fear also in here, where she's like, I don't want to hook up with him again, but like I probably would if I was drunk. It's like,
well, just understand that fucking him won't change him.
Right.
You know,
it's not going to bring, you're just going to feel worse.
You're not going to fuck the guy who's still in college at 25 out of him.
Exactly.
So like any, the again, discomfort brings change. So for this guy, having sex with him will not change him as a person, will not come make him more mature, will not make him say, wow, I guess I should stop. I guess if I had messaged her, then maybe we could have had like an adult relationship where maybe we fucked again.
Right.
You know, and I think the whole going through awkward thing that rattles out all this other shit. I mean, it's always nicer. It's always easier to be nice than mean. Like I found and like any time where I've gone up to someone and been like, hey, great to see you. Where the fuck have you been? You know, it's always been a position that puts me in a better spot than the one I was before.
Right, than an awkward, weird spot.
Totally. Yeah. And if I avoid them the whole night, then I have to be like, oh, they're across the bar. I got to stay at this side of the bar. I can't even talk to them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're talking to a friend of mine that I want to talk to. Now I can't even do that. And it's like all...
Just go break the...
It's all your own shit.
Right. Make it less weird. And then it's not... And then you're not... They're a person's not a... affecting your night. They're not like fucking with your night. But don't hook up with them just because, as you said, like no one changes when they're getting positive reinforcement for their negative behavior.
Totally. And have you ever ghosted someone?
I think like maybe once after like two dates with someone, I like didn't really answer. Mm. And I again feel shitty about it. But most of the time I've like I answer because I'm just a compulsive need to not have like things lingering. Like I check my email. Like I'm one of those people who has to have like zero emails. I check my mailbox every day. I'm like a what do they call it? Loser.
I'm showing Jordana my email inbox with the number.
Yeah, you're not one of the okay. Yeah, you're not one of those people.
But I am one of those people that needs to see the number be the same as it was before.
Oh, okay, so it's basically like zero. You know what? All those that shit is like junk mail. I'm at like. I think I'm at zero right now.
but you need things cleared up.
I need things
the calendar cleared.
I don't like shit lingering out there. I like to like close a book. And also I think the older you, I think I did that at a younger age.
Sure.
When it's just easier than like having like an uncomfortable conversation. And again, it's a grown up move to just say you're not interested.
Have you ever gone up to someone who's ghosted you? How do you approach someone who's ghosted you?
I don't know if I've totally been ghosted. I'm trying to think. In like the traditional sense of the ghosting world.
I just don't think you're going to get the answers you want if you come and attack, why did you ghost me?
I've had people who have like harmed me or like hurt me, or maybe it wasn't ghosting, but I think that there's the urge to confront them on it and call them out on it because again, like there's that feeling of like this person just gets to like cause me pain and then like go about their day. But you have to realize that like, again, everything is not really about you. So like,
no.
That person, if they were acting shitty towards you, it's again, it's everyone's always like, why are they doing this to me? When really it's like, why are you doing this? It's never about you.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you do this? Not why do you do this to me?
Well, the answer is this very similar for everyone. Like, let me answer for the ghoster. They were too much of a pussy to say to you, hey, I want to end this and I never want to see you again. And they're leaving the door open for them to see you again.
Right. And that's like, that's about them. That's not about you.
Totally. But just know that any answer beyond that you're going to get is not going to help you on your life.
Right.
You're only going to learn about their shitty life and why their commitment levels suck and why they are afraid of this. And none of that's going to help you.
For sure. I think a lot of girls have this, and I think it's an issue when they're dating, and I think I used to be like that a lot more when I was younger also, is they have this thing where it's like, I don't really care if I'm dating like a nice guy. I just want the guy to be nice to me.
Mm.
When really that's like not how you should date, because everyone is nice to you when they want something.
Oh, totally.
In the beginning, everyone is nice. It's not like, that's not really like the way, again, the way to judge a guy is not how he acts towards you before he sleeps with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's how he acts to you the second that he's done. Or when he wakes up.
Yeah, when I get up from my nap.
But I think it's really true. It's like, you want someone who's nice to everyone, because then when the tides turn and you're not his favorite person in the world, you want someone who's going to treat you decently, even when, you know, he's not trying to sleep with you or he's not trying to woo you or he's trying. You want someone who's nice to everyone, because then he'll be nice to you even if he's not in the mood.
And people make mistakes. That's the other thing. Like, a guy who ghosted you could have done that and been like, fuck.
Felt shitty about it. Yeah,
I'm sorry. You know, she could see this guy 3 years from now and he could be a different person. Like, he could look at her and go, yeah, I really fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
People change.
And maybe there's a chance, like, I'm not saying this is going to happen for her, but like,
hang in there.
Yeah, yeah. He might still be in college. But he could come back and be like, you want to go on a date? Do you know what I mean? Like, and then, okay, everything starts at the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
So... UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com.
Rate and subscribe and shit.
Look at you're doing it now too.
Yeah, now it's, I told you, it's in my brain. It's like some weird.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
That's all. Pause it right now. Do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay, good to have you back. What's up, J Train and Jordana? So a question pops up while at brunch with the boys, and I hope you can help us figure it out since we're all idiots. So in our friend group, I'm the only one in a long-term relationship. Disclaimer, very happy and love my girlfriend. LOL.
That means she listens.
LOL. But I still make an effort to go out with the boys pretty regularly. However, something odd has been happening when we go out as a group. So we'll go out and end up talking to girls. I end up being the one who girls try and bring home, even though I'm not trying to throw any vibes out there. At first, I thought it might be girlfriend confidence, but some of the guys in the group have even brought it up to me, saying things like, seriously, I think that blonde girl was really into you. This is strange because if we're being honest, I'm not the most attractive one in the friend group. Oh. A self-proclaimed 767.
So I have a rating system on my podcast, and anyone can use it, okay?
You girls, we can use it for guys.
Use it for guys. Go ahead.
And we should.
Face, body, personality.
Yes.
767 is what he's saying. He's saying he has a seven face.
Six personality.
Six body.
Oh, six body.
Seven personality. Okay? So okay. It's the area code method. Yeah. And that wasn't invented by me. My friends that went to NYU used to use it all the time.
I like it. I've used it on guys.
Area code method.
Great, yeah. So two questions. One, are girls just attracted to dudes who don't give a shit? Or what's going on here? Two, can I somehow use my situation to help my buddies get laid? Let me know your thoughts, as I will definitely keep spreading the you up gospel to all my single friends. P.S. Do we start calling the listeners here uppers? You uppers? Yuppers? Thanks, guys.
I like calling them yuppers because this is kind of like, you know, the new yuppie probably listens to this.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, so yeah. If we go
yuppie's
yupper,
very 80s term, right?
Very 80s term.
Bringing back all the,
let's
you know,
bring it back.
Golly.
Golly, yuppie. I do think yuppers could be fun.
I like it. It's the it'll
what's
be
up,
the
yuppers?
Plan. Yuppers.
Okay.
I like it.
What do you think of this situation? I got to say, girlfriend confidence is something I talk about all the time, where it does.
Because you're not looking.
You're not looking to get laid, so you're out there talking to people, and you're being your most you self. And right. I think I get this a lot of times with this podcast, is a lot of the women that are listening, and I appreciate that, they're writing to me over DM or whatever and saying, oh, it's so nice to get this perspective. It's because I'm not... I mean, I'm not on this podcast to fuck you.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
I...
So we'll tell you how we really feel.
I'm being... I think for a lot of women listening, this might be the first time they've heard a guy be as honest as humanly possible.
Right.
And I'm not saying that as a negative or a positive. I'm
no,
just saying...
No, I think it's... Again, like what we were just saying, like most of dating is like interpreting things because no one says what they think.
Sure.
Or how they're feeling. What we're doing is we're really like cutting that shit.
Yeah.
Telling you what's really going on.
I've been saying my guys, all my friends are married, mm-hmm. are in relationships. So like I'm already on kids with a lot of them.
Okay.
So I'll say that some of my guy friends that are in relationships are so bad at talking to women that they're good at it.
Right. I can totally understand that because there's nothing worse when you're talking to like when in a group of guys or a regular or just mm-hmm. seeing a guy at a bar and you can tell that he's just like, he's just like looking to get laid. He's just looking at
he's
sex.
He's cheesing.
And he like will do, he'll say whatever it takes to get there. He'll do whatever it takes to get there. It's like a...
agreeing with everything you say.
Yeah.
Just yesing you to death. I mean, I'm guilty of having been there or doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, you just don't want to rock the boat. You know, you're looking... Yeah. I was with a friend. We went to this... I brought him to this, you know, being the influencer that I am. I was invited
right,
to...
Right, telling that...
The fit tee that
the
I'm
fit
into.
Tees, yes.
I brought a buddy of mine to one of these events. And I remember like the girl who was like brought us there, cute girl, fun girl. And then I'm talking with her, but I'm just like, I'm listening to her, but I'm like, just like kind of looking her up. You know, I'm just like
right.
assessing this situation. My buddy's been married a few years now and he doesn't give a shit. He's there. He's in the back eating a slider.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he comes up and he was like, hey, what's going on? And she was like, what's up? And somehow he's like, he started calling himself the ogre of the place. I don't know why he brought this up, but then he started doing an ogre impression.
Right.
So he starts going, I'm the ogre. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And then all of a sudden she looks at me and she's like, this guy's hilarious.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
It's like that. I think it's like that. You got nothing to lose mentality. It's like
nothing to lose.
Why not just say whatever the fuck you want? It's like, it's kind of great.
But if you went to, if you were out at brunch and you see this guy and mm-hmm. he's totally nailing it with your friends and you find out he's in a relationship, are all the friends just like, ah, let's move on to the next group. Maybe there's another fun one. Or are they encouraged to know that they're with a fun guy?
Depends what kind of mood you on you're in. If you're like in, you're if you're a person that's in the mood to just like have a good, it's almost like you should talk to that guy if you're there just to have fun, which is how you should approach going out, is to just have a good time.
But
not
does
to
he
like,
reflect well on his friends? Like, could this guy get his friends laid? Is my question.
By being great.
By being great. Let's say he's the best, and then he looks at you and goes, "And you gotta meet Biff."
I think guys do that sometimes, and it's kind of like the guy introducing the other guy to the girl is always kind of like, you're kind of feeling like, what's wrong with the other guy that he can't just like,
why come can't
up
he
and,
be great?
Right. Yeah. Why doesn't he just come up to me and do that thing? With guys do that thing where it's like, oh, have you met my friend? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, but like, if I, why doesn't your friend like make his own first impression?
Sure. Yeah.
Which I think is a thing, but I think they have a good, if it's like a group. If it's a group setting, it's like kind of fun to. If they have a good dynamic, that's nice. I think guys, when they play off each other, that's
a
fun
thing. Well, this is what this is kind of like where I'm kind of going with the advice.
But I think
for this guy.
Yeah, but I think not as like a purely introductory thing. I think that comes off sometimes like a little lame.
You got to meet so and so. He's great too, and it's like, yeah, where the fuck has he been?
Right.
I think you got to treat it like you're walking in the snow. You're the one that's put. You ever walk in someone else's snow feet?
Yeah.
So that you don't get snowy shoes?
Right. So, when you're in the city, that's a thing.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
I mean, anywhere. Yeah. So like when I'm walking through the snow, you're looking for those other footpaths so you don't get all the snow in your boots. So this guy is the first one to step in the snow. This guy is showing the guys where the girls are that are reacting to fun. Because sometimes girls or guys, they don't even deal with the fun person.
Right. They're not in the mood for that.
They're not in the mood for that. Yeah. They're not putting into it. They're in, and those people, like, they probably have boyfriends. One. Two. They're not that. They're not into your type of personality.
Right.
You're friends with this guy for a reason. So if you see your buddy with a girlfriend fucking killing it, why don't you walk over there and walk through his shoe path?
Right. And sort of continue the conversation.
Now you're an improv team.
Right.
Now you guys are doing a two-man improv.
There's nothing
scene.
More fun than talking to like people who seem like they're genuinely like friends and like fun and like again like have that air of like we're all looking to have like a great time. It takes which is again why girls I think are attracted to those like girlfriend guys, cuz they're just like having fun. They're not like there to like prey on you.
Totally. And I mean what that guy does is he's kind of like the bug zapper. He's that light that all the moths go and fly to.
Right.
Because the ones that don't fly to him, they're not there for that. They're there to be with their friends, and they really don't want to meet guys. The girls that go up and be around that person, those are the people that want to meet people. Those are the people that are putting themselves out there. Those are the people that are attracted to a friend of yours. It's a referral.
Right.
So if I'm the single guy with my buddy who's killing it, because I would be like, oh, I got to go get involved with that conversation. What are you guys talking about? Oh, I love Game of Thrones. Whatever the fuck you guys are getting into. I love ogres. You know, like,
here's a guy acting like an ogre.
Yeah, this guy's doing an ogre routine.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Is it like Shrek? Was that the...
It was so pathetic that it was good. I was at another place. We're watching the game and like there was a girl in front of the TV and I kept being like, excuse me. And she wouldn't move. And then my buddy who's married was just like, move. Move the fuck out of the way.
How did that go over?
She was like, started laughing. Like she was in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, pussy, me.
Excuse me.
A little fucking bug. Yeah.
Do you think there's a such thing as like the girl, the boyfriend effect? Do you think?
Like I think there's some girls that like lose their inhibitions enough where they're like, I have a boyfriend. I don't give a shit. I'm going to be here and hang and be my total self.
Right.
And guys are like,
prove.
And
right.
Yeah, because guys come together and then we have this like team meeting when everyone like goes to take a shit or something where we're like, oh, that girl with the boyfriend. What the fuck?
Right.
You know, like, she has the boyfriend. And then it's like, okay, who's next? Who's around that girl that doesn't have the boyfriend? It's like, and none of them are hanging, you know?
You're saying the girls with the boyfriend. I feel like the girls with the boyfriend sometimes less fun than the single people.
I think it goes either way. I think there's the less fun one, and then there's the one that's so much fun. But rarely is that. There's rarely that girl who's like jumping it.
Right.
Guys are willing to see
it. In the same way that guys are.
Because guys will see their buddy like killing it, and they're like, well, I could equally kill it, so let me go kill it with him.
Right. And then I think sometimes the boyfriend effect goes the other way, or the girlfriend effect goes the other way, when it's like the guy is like kind of like a little more chill than his friends and maybe like a little more quiet. And you're like, oh, that guy is like, seems like
the laid back one.
Right. He's like laid back. And like, why isn't he interested in like speaking to me? Like,
so really, we don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
It could be either way.
It could go any way. I don't know. I mean, like, I think it can be a thing. But I think the general lesson there is that if you go out and you just look like you're trying to have fun, like on your own, you're going to be fine.
Totally. Let's do some games.
Let's do some games. Okay, so we have a game, and I really like this one. So it's, would you rather date someone that accidentally killed someone while drunk driving?
Oh my God.
Or a person who purposely clubbed 5 baby seals to death?
Absolutely the drunk driving incident.
Even though they've now killed someone.
It could happen. I mean, sadly,
yeah, it could have happened.
It can happen.
Yeah.
The clubbing baby seals person, that is, you have to go out of your way to go to a shoreline with seals.
Right.
Find the babies, club them.
Yeah.
You're a fucked up weirdo.
A lunatic, yeah.
Any of us are not beyond, I mean, we're beyond it, but like, you can empathize with someone who had a couple drinks,
right.
Got in the car.
It's not an intentional thing.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Then I wonder if it's like, is it a slippery slope? Let's say it's like mice. They're just in the middle of nowhere.
Anytime you go out of your way to kill a living, breathing thing, I think
there's something scary.
Fucked up. My grandfather once, we were at, you know, we were in Florida. I remember I was a young lad, and my grandfather saw a gecko in the house, took it, and threw it in the disposal. And we were like, and I remember he like threw it in, grinded it up, and everyone was just like, what the fuck just happened?
That's like kind of terrifying.
Yeah, you're terrified.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, he's got a taste for blood. Papa.
I bet you behaved whenever he was watching
you. Yes. So I'm saying there was a moment we were like, whoa, Papa's fucking out of his fucking mind.
Yeah. I have a friend who chose the baby seals.
Come on.
I swear. She's like, I just hate sea animals. I just hate sea creatures. Like, I think they're disgusting.
That's even weirder.
I think they're disgusting or something.
Yeah, like, but I, you know, I hate certain people. I don't go out of my way to club them.
Killed.
You know?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I hate people who put inspirational memes up.
That's true, but we'll allow them to live.
Probably. Yeah, I'm not going to go around with a club and, you know, martial law them.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
If you have a game that you want us to play, if you have a red flag or deal breaker, or, you know, who would you rather, send it to UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. We saved the discussion for the end of the podcast, right?
We did.
We did it for a reason.
Oh, yeah, we did it for a reason because we have a special guest today. It's Whitney Cummings.
Very cool. I had to go out of town, so I'm not going to be able to be a part of the interview. So Jordana's going to handle it. You guys are going to talk about this discussion, plus do some games and all that stuff.
Yep.
So, but let's start the discussion now, and you guys can...
We'll finish it up for
take
you.
The baton,
yeah.
So to speak. And the discussion today was stalking your ex. To stalk or not to stalk, how much is too much?
I think anyone who says they don't stalk their exes is a fucking liar.
Absolutely. Right?
I think it's that kind of thing where everyone's like, yeah, like I don't even, like everyone looks.
We all want to know how they're doing, how they look,
yeah,
who they're fucking.
It's never been easier to find out all that
never.
Information.
You want to hop up on that fence and take a look over the yeah. side.
But I think that stalking has really gotten to like a crazy level. Like, I feel like it's just so easy to look that people just probably like, they could check these profiles like, dozens of times a day, and I think that happens, and I think that happens a lot more than anyone admits.
The thing that's the tough thing about stalking an ex is like, how much of an ex are they? You know, if it's a right. serious relationship, there's a point where your stalking can hinder you guys moving on.
Right.
And I've been guilty of that. Like I don't know if we've talked about this here or not, but I mean I was hooking up with this girl. I looked at her. I was like, listen, we got to stop.
Oh, right. And then she got married, right?
No. This is it. I've told so many stories. This girl and I were having like, I mean, it was great sexual chemistry.
Okay.
Okay. And we both felt it. You know, we were just on the same page on that level. I didn't see it as going forward as a relationship. So I kind of, there was a point where I was like, as good as this sexual energy is, I can't keep into this because it's taking my time away from meeting people I would want to date. And I'm being a dick to this girl because right. the more we go through with this, the more time I'm wasting of hers and whatever.
That's a good realization.
It was a good realization. But, you know, I think when you have good sexual chemistry with someone, and I keep coming back to sexual chemistry, I've said it more times than I've ever said in my entire life, but when you do, you'll say, let's just make this the sex and we'll do that. And then when you say no to that, it's like, I think it can be more, they take it hard because they're like, well, I just want sex. And you're like, yeah, but this is taking time away from both of us going and being better off.
Right.
So I kept feeling like I was the one to just turn down. There's this thing that girls do a lot where they're like, it's just sex. You don't even want to have sex with me. That's all guys want.
Right, and that's almost like the greatest insult. It's like
that's what
not,
I'm saying.
Right, like I'm not even asking you to like.
Yeah, I just this is just
me.
A just pussy want, right, yeah. that's open, ready for business.
Yeah, I mean,
how are that you happens, saying no? So, you know, right? it's yeah. an open bar, and now I have to be the bad guy at every turn, where it's like you're turning down the thing that all guys are just working.
But I
towards
think if you explain it in that way, that it's like a distraction from us both finding something more meaningful.
And so we would turn off from social media.
Right.
So then we ended up turning off from social media. We took a lot of time away from each other. And then what happened was I started seeing her show up on watching my stories.
Okay.
This is back to the stalking right. thing. She's showing up on my stories. Then I'm like, what's she looking at? And now I'm looking at her stories. And
do you ever upload something specifically so someone would see it?
No, that's a female thing.
Okay.
I would
that's
never.
That's not a guy thing?
I don't even.
I know so
it.
Many girls who do that.
Girls do that
they're
so
uploading
much.
It for just one person just to like.
Which is fucking
if
crazy.
They don't see it, they might as well not have put it up.
Yeah, I've never done such a thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of guys do. I think we're doing it for all the girls we haven't fucked yet.
Okay.
Not
we're,
the one
we're
girl
doing
we
it for,
fucked.
Yeah, we're doing it for the exes.
Yeah. So but I see her popping up on watching my stories. Then I start watching her stories. Then she starts liking certain posts. We're not following each other, though. So now I start liking certain posts. Then there's the text. See, you're liking my post, huh?
Right.
Then there's the text back.
And the gates are open.
Now the gates are open. Right. Now we're texting again. And now come over. We're back to fucking.
Right.
And thus the circle of fucking. And
yeah, I mean, I would relate that to something that might happen 20 years ago where you would just literally run into someone that you...
Yeah.
I mean, which is obviously a lot more rare and a lot harder to do. But I think that's happened to people before. They run into people that they...
Well, that might be the case. But at least in that scenario, it was more chance than the one I'm... The one that I'm explaining, like, we've done the tango.
Right.
We're doing the tango of social media. You know, mm-hmm. She's touching me, I'm touching her, and then all of a sudden we're liking now.
You're back.
Yeah. Now we're back. Now she's touching my penis, I'm touching her vagina. We've gone from socially touching each other to physically touching each other. And I think that point where it went from, hey, we're wasting each other's time, let's just end this, to now we've done another year of this, and now we're back. We've just wasted each other's time of
right,
a year.
You're back where you started.
Back where you started. So just understand that this level of stalking can hold you both back.
Right.
Because you are constantly looking, well, why is this person liking? Why is this person? And there is a point where, especially with stories, where you can see who's watching your stories, you have to release from those.
Yeah.
And maybe block.
You should block, I think. And especially like right after something, I feel like you need to block and you need to just like cleanse.
Yeah.
Like not go, not even like, I think you need to take a break from social media, because I don't think social media after a breakup is just like devastating no matter what you see. Like you see, I always say like.
Yeah, they're having too much fun. They're having not enough fun.
Or you see them in a friend's post or you're kind of like, you're doing your own private investigation. Maybe this is more of a girl thing too.
No, I've done that.
Looking for them in the background of pictures or seeing if they're out in someone else's stories.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where it's just like, you can create a story in your head about what they're doing that might not be accurate, and you're inferring all this stuff, and it kind of drives you crazy. And I think like it's best to just release yourself from any of that.
A girl I dated blocked every single person that was connected to me, and I think it was the best thing she could have done for both of us.
You can get over someone really fast when there's no reminders of them anywhere.
Totally. And I listen, that's not to say we don't want to look or have looked, and that's okay. But just understand that when you look or like, there are ways that you can stalk without showing them you're stalking.
Right, like when people can see you.
Yes.
Yeah, and I always say, like, don't look, just because the best thing that you could possibly see when you look is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, no one's ever, you're not going to go on, hop on their, look on their Facebook page and they wrote a status about how much they miss you. Yeah. Right?
Well, like, that's the other thing. If you're looking, if you go... looking, don't be surprised with what you find.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the worst case is the best case is you see nothing. The worst case is you see something that just fucks up your whole week.
But also, a lot of times they're posting things not because of you. Like I get in the situation. Right. I post a lot. I post
right.
jokes
and
a
people
lot.
Like assume that it's
oh this
personal.
Must all be about me or oh you don't like this type of person. It's like no, I'm just trying to be funny. Right. You know, like I'm just trying to get likes and be funny and get more people to like my shit. And
right. It's like with our. Podcast when the girl uploaded the Insta story and the ex was like,
oh shit, we should talk about this. So we tell people to post screenshots of their of them listening, right? Here, let me find it. Tell the story because I
so basically the you sent it to me. The thing is, the girl put up a picture of our podcast. It was about, I think it was the last week's episode about your ex.
It was about, it was saying, whatever it was, we were talking about exes
saying
in the podcast.
About exes.
And we tell people to post their, you know, them listening to it. And then this girl sent us, here it is. She posted something about, if you're not listening to this podcast, you are doing everything wrong. And she posted a thing of it and then tagged us both. And I wrote back, thank you. And then she wrote, of course, my friends and I are obsessed. And then she wrote, then she sent me a screenshot of her ex-boyfriend writing, stop blasting me on social media. It's like the fourth time you've done it. Seriously, it's childish. And then she's writing, what are you talking about? I have not blasted you once. And then he writes, you know damn well, goodbye. And then she writes, I literally have not posted one thing about you. So the podcast is okay to talk about your ex. And if people aren't listening, they're doing it wrong. That's a blast.
This is a guy who shouldn't be stalking his ex.
Yes, because right. He's taking everything away from it. It has to be about him.
Right.
Which it isn't. They're just trying to move on.
Yeah.
They're just trying. Just like you, they're upset. even though maybe they ended it, they're still upset.
Yeah, the less you know, it's always the better.
And if you are going to look, just understand it's not about you. That's just them taking their chance to get over you.
Yeah.
And doing whatever they have to do to move on. This girl, it's listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And she's just
trying to commiserate.
Right. She's not trying to talk shit.
That's so funny.
And even if she was, the less you know, the less involved you are, the better. Just focus on like other shit that has nothing to do with
and
your
just
ex.
Know that any ex that writes you that they're mad about something you posted, you did the right thing to make them an ex.
Yeah. And they're like fiercely stalking you. You should be a little flattered.
So that's our discussion. I think you and Whitney will solve this.
We will. I have confidence in us.
Enjoy the rest of the episode. And please go rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're new here, and you enjoyed what you just listened to, and you only came because you're like, oh, I love Whitney Cummings, get subscribed to this podcast. If you enjoyed, let your friends know.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more guests, too. Get excited.
It's going to be great.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist. This scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. SolDeJaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Hey guys, we're really excited because Whitney Cummings is here, who's not only like an amazing comedian, but she's also the director, co-writer, and one of the stars of The Female Brain, which is coming out nationwide in video on demand on Friday and in select theaters as well.
Yeah. That's confusing. I know that sounds. Yeah. It's everything's everywhere now. You can't just be one place. So yes, it comes out in theater. Whatever. Go to my
You'll
Instagram.
Find it.
You'll find it.
Go to her Instagram. What's your Instagram handle for all Whitney those Cummings. Who are not already following? Yeah. If you can't find it, you have an issue.
Yeah. There's bigger problems.
Yeah. You need to figure out how to use the internet. Anyway. So the movie is about basically how the difference between the male brain and the female brain works.
The differences and the similarities. You know, it's like basically a couple years ago, I read that book, The Female Brain. I was super worried that it was going to be like sexist and like all about how we're so different, which is weird because we're in this movement where we're trying to sort of like fight for equality. So I was worried like, oh, God, do we have all these like biological... is there all this science showing that we're like inferior and whatever? And what I realized when I read the book was just that the way that society shames us and socially constructs traditional female qualities as being weaknesses is the problem. It's not that we have weaknesses. Like, you know, I all through my 20s, I heard like, you're crazy, you're psycho, right? You always hear this about women. They're too sensitive.
They're too emotional.
Emotional, mm-hmm. Too dramatic. And I was like, I guess, I think I started believing it. And then I read this book and the way that they frame traditionally female qualities is actually as superpowers as strengths. And right. it's really society that has constructed them to be negative stereotypes. And like, we evolved to be this way for a very specific reason. And it's why our society proliferated and why our species continued on. You know, it's like, right. So that was really refreshing and liberating. And I asked Neil Brennan, who co-created the Chappelle Show, you guys probably know Neil, to write it with me so that it felt balanced and it was just as much about men. And I think that there's a super empowering element of like being able to understand your primordial instincts and your reptilian brain and to like celebrate what makes us specifically female instead of like feeling bad about it and being ashamed of it.
I feel like it's such a hot, like whenever people say that there's like inherent differences between men and women, there is like that fear that it's going to be like, oh, like we're not responsible for our behaviors. Like women just get more attached after sex. Like women can't have unattached sex or something like that.
Yeah, which is statistically wrong. Some women can, maybe some can't. Like you can't generalize about 3 billion, an entire gender, you know? So I think that, you know, this book is also about nature and nurture matter. Mm-hmm. It depends on what happened when you were a kid. It matters what, you know, modeling and blueprint you got from your parents. Like we're all a very sort of complicated kaleidoscope and balance of biology, nature, and nurture, and we also can make active choice. So I call bullshit when people are like, you know, especially with what's going on in our zeitgeist right now, like when people are like, well, guys, that's just how guys are. It's like, no, you don't get a pass for acting like a dickhead just because of this primordial neurology. You can also override it and make a conscious choice, you know. So I found that very interesting, and I just think in terms of women in general, like you know, I wanted, what the book did for me was, and it, I think what it does for guys is like says like everything that drives you nuts about your girlfriend right now probably would have saved your life 2,000 years ago. Like we're designed to live in tribes. We're not designed to live in buildings with security systems and grocery stores and stuff like that. So we are designed to like be fighting tigers on a daily basis, like while pregnant with no weapons. So that's why our brain used to be our weapon. So when everyone's like, I have so much anxiety, I have such a pain, I'm having panic attacks. It's like anxiety is a real disorder, but it's also like, you know, survival of the fittest. We are the fittest. The most anxious people are the ones that survived because they're the ones that freaked out when they heard a noise at night. So that's why we're all running around super anxious. We have a lot of tools that we don't really need anymore.
Right. Our anxiety is actually helping our boyfriends.
They love it.
Exactly.
But yes, they can now see it as a strength instead of as a weakness.
So that's like an example of something that you're saying is generally like has been situated to be like a female negative that's actually positive.
Yeah, because a lot of the weapons that we have, we don't really need anymore. What used to be like, oh, what's that noise? That could be a lion in the bush, is now like, who's that girl texting you at 2 a.m.?
Right.
You know, so like in modern times, love that. It's like turned into this sort of yuckier sort of thing. But another, you know, something that I learned that was so interesting was like, I love popping my boyfriend's zits and pulling their eyebrow hairs. You're not.
I know a lot of girls who do that, right?
Girls don't.
I'm like, I don't like to do that, but I know a lot of girls who are just like obsessed with it.
Yeah. You get endorphins from it. You actually get like a chemical reward.
I do it to myself.
You do it, yes. Yeah. Like you have to squeeze if you see something, right? Like that's a biological impulse because, you know, 2,000 years ago, we didn't have Dial soap and loofahs and Purell and stuff. You know, we had to groom each other in order to fight infection. So there's just this primordial hardwiring that makes us compelled to do that. I mean, I sometimes even see like ex-boyfriends and I'm like, I gotta get that. Unibrow, and I'll start plucking like an ex-boyfriend's hair like at lunch. It's crazy. It's like an overwhelming compulsion, and you know, but it's just relieving for me to know the biological basis of it.
Yeah, I think that's helpful to know like why we do. I think knowing why we do anything helps us like also like navigate like what we're gonna do next. Like it's almost like when you know when my therapist says this, when you feel something and then you have to identify like why am I feeling like this?
Yeah,
and then now you can go back 2,000 years to describe it.
But there's other times where sometimes it's nature and then other times it's nurture. So there's other times where you'll say like, oh, because my mom forgot me at the mall that time when I was a kid and it traumatized me. Now I'm afraid of abandonment. Like that, you know. So it's figuring out, I think, you know, what's nature, what's nurture. You know, there was this piece of science. Is that a thing? I'm clearly not a scientist. I'm a comedian. I have no business talking about neurology in an erudite way. But I read that women get dopamine from making consensus. Mm-hmm. You know, like women are sort of wired for harmony for the most part. And then I was like, oh, no, that's such a setback, you know. And where that comes from is that when women were pregnant, the more women you had got along with. And the more everyone got along, the more protection you had. Because being pregnant 2,000 years ago was not a good scene. It was right. like you were giving birth in a hole. If you,
like you could die.
If
yeah.
you survived childbirth, you needed like 9 women to help you. So that's why right. we're wired for consensus and to smile at people even if we don't like them or whatever. And I thought that that was like spooky science. Like I was like, I don't like this. But then it went on to say if a woman has enough adrenaline, she can override that need to be cooperative. So, you know, I think that's an amazing thing is that we, you know, when you're running a company, you're running a business, you're running a meeting, right. you want everybody to get along. But if someone's acting out, you can still say, I need you to shut up or that is not a good idea or.
Right. So it's actually a strength.
You can fire someone. Yes.
Hear that?
Yes. It's a strength. It's not like you're a puppet of your primordial reactions and have no say in the matter.
Right.
You know, but I think that being wired for consensus is actually like a superpower. That's awesome.
I agree. So do you think if we watch the movie, do we need to still read the book?
You know what?
The book sounds really interesting, and the movie, I assume, is like bringing that to life.
That's such a great question. I don't want to throw the author under the bus and say no. I want her to make more money, so I feel terrible. But I think you should do both is my political answer. But the movie, it is a science comedy. I mean, it's kind of like,
right.
you know, it's funny. It's got, you know,
I love that.
Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live and Blake Griffin, who's hilarious, and James Marsden from Westworld. He's hysterical. Beanie Feldstein from Lady Bird. It's got all these amazing actors. And then there's kind of like TED Talks during the right. comedy, you know. So I think everyone will hopefully learn a little more and have a little more empathy for women and a more understanding. Because basically neuroscientists didn't start studying women's brains until very recently. They were just like, oh, we're good. There's nothing in there. And then female neurologists came along and they were like, let's start studying women's brains also. And so this is actually pretty recent information that yeah. we have.
I feel like all the female research is very late. Like the female orgasm, no one knows anything about that.
Nothing.
I feel like there's like zero data on
it's
that.
Zero data because it's like most scientists are men. And the same right. thing with like birth control. I'm just like, no woman would have let this be a thing.
You exactly.
know, like it's in like a pink case. I'm like, no woman, only a guy would be like, they love pink. Let's make it pink and make it look like a little advent calendar. It's like, who is me? So I'm
it's
excited.
Like the lady Doritos that are out.
The lady silent Doritos.
Yes.
It's so embarrassing. So I think that now that there's more female scientists, more female doctors, more female Doritos people, hopefully there will be a more products that and more research around how, you know, like Ambien metabolizes differently in men and women. I didn't know that. I would like take my boyfriend's Ambien and then I wake up like 6 days later. And
see, Ambien like, never worked for me.
Really?
I'm more of a Xanax girl.
Really?
Just knock myself out.
Well, look, I respect that. Yeah, I don't think I've juxtaposed the two that
Maybe
much.
It's because I'm a woman.
But it's, we do, and I mean, even you and I will metabolize things differently. Everybody metabolizes everything differently. But that was just interesting information. And when they make medicine now, they don't differentiate like how much you need versus how much you need and how much right. testosterone. You know, we're kind of guinea pigs.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. And you guys should check out the movie again this Friday, limited release, but also it's on iTunes and all the other shit.
iTunes and every VOD, Comcast, Google.
Yeah. If you like this podcast,
MySpace.
Sounds like you're going to like this movie. So check it out.
I hope that. I always feel so boring talking about this. I swear, I think we did manage to make it funny and interesting.
I think we did. And I think the listeners are really interested in like any kind of differences between men and women. As we discuss all the time on this podcast, how like, you know, the same action is like construed totally different by like a guy and a girl. And we just think about things entirely differently.
Yeah.
So check this out. It'll also help you. But on to our discussion that we were talking about before with Jared, we're talking about stalking your ex and how it fucks you.
Yeah.
So have you ever done this? Are you a big stalker?
I have done it. I am no longer a stalker.
Okay.
I think it's a negative contribution to your future. If you were with me 5 years ago, I'd be like, here's what you do. You get a fake account and you da, 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 and then you got to hide. But now I just think it's, you know, just now that I've learned how the brain works and how we re-embed trauma and we can build new neural pathways every day with what we put in our brains, mm-hmm. that I don't want to give more power to that or build more neural pathways around any exes.
Yeah, it almost becomes like an addiction.
It's an absolute addiction.
I don't know if your exes are on Facebook, but I feel like you you look at it and then you just have to keep looking at it. Like sometimes
refresh. It gets upset. It's like the Skinner's box, or like it's like Pavlov's dog. It's like you keep getting this reward of dopamine whenever you look at something, or adrenaline. And that's the other fascinating thing. It's like we do literally get addicted to drama because drama makes adrenaline, and adrenaline turns into dopamine, which is what you get when you do cocaine or drink alcohol or take a Xanax or whatever. So it's like when you're going on looking at your ex's page, you get a hit of adrenaline, you get that pit in your stomach, and then that turns into, and then you need more and more and more. And I just, it's really like a way of just hurting yourself.
Right.
You know, I think for me, I don't even go to my Discover page anymore because it's like a landmine. Like I've had exes come up and I'm just like, I can't do this. And so I don't do it anymore, even though there's times that my hand like will try and I have to fight it.
So in order to not do it, do you just remind yourself that like it's only, I always say like the best thing you could see is nothing.
You know, that's interesting, you know, because my imagination is a nightmare, but you know,
how'd you get to where you are?
You know how I got out of it? And maybe this is a ghost story from old Auntie Whitney here that is going to help you guys stop doing this. I was stalking an ex's new girlfriend with two friends of mine. And we were looking at her page, and she does lots of bikinis on photo shoots on the beach. I'm like, who's taking these photos? Who's taking all these photos, by the way? There's like, she's eating cherries. It's ridiculous. Amazing. There's the tattoo, the Coachella tattoos that are sparkly with a feather. I'm like, what? Who? So there's a lot to to unpack.
A lot to work with.
We've got like a pointer out. We're going back.
She's got her on the PowerPoint projector screen.
Well, she's getting sponsored. Like who would she doesn't have a job, but she's adding businesses. It's ridiculous. So we're spending a solid 45 minutes on this. And then like 2 hours later, she's like, remember that photo? We're back in the wormhole 45 minutes later going through. And then somebody says to me, I'm telling her ex-boyfriend, the person we're stalking, like, oh, we were just on her page for like 2 hours. And he's like, oh, well, you know, she has that app that tells you who is on your page and for how long they're on your
page. There's an app for that?
Shut the fuck up. I literally almost puke. And then I went back to her page again. Don't ask. We had to revisit some bikini photo.
Oh, my God.
It said users private. And I was like, did she block you?
I think that's what blocking is.
So I'm like, she's got an app. He said, she's like, I don't know if this is a real app, but she knew I'm all of a sudden blocked. Like, it's this whole thing. And I just wanted to reach out to her to go, like, just so you know, three of us, it was on my phone, but three of us were looking.
It wasn't me. I gave it to my niece.
I lost my phone yesterday.
Yeah, your page. I've done that before.
But because I think that there is this elusive app out there that tells you who's on your page and for how long. So. Excuse me. I'm choked up. I'm like nervous. Wow. My throat is closing up.
That is a horror story.
So if that exists, even if there's a 2% chance that that exists, that's a reason to not go on your ex's page.
That is nuts. That is all the reason that I need. I've never heard of that before. And now I'm like scared shit of all the people that
literally,
I've been
stalking. Sometimes I want to go stalk somebody and I'm like, nope, not worth it. They might have that app. And I just, it's not worth the emotional horror.
That's amazing and like terrible at the same time. My sister once called me crying. She's like, I just found out that like people can tell when you look at their LinkedIn page. And like, I've been like stalking my ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. Like I've been like, I look at it like every day.
Oh my God. Has she heard from him?
I don't even know what the damage control is.
What is she going to move? What does she do?
Yeah, she just has to like stay in her apartment.
To Germany. She can't leave the house.
Yeah.
That feeling.
Deactivate your account. I don't even know if that works. Like if you delete your LinkedIn.
You have to erase your identity in time. You have to fake your death and just start over as a new person.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope. Like you think you're being all like cool and secretive and then you accidentally press the
button.
What
are you getting out of it? If you go stalk an ex, are you trying to go like, oh, you're worse off or, oh, she's not. You know, there's no
because you're never seeing anything good ever.
Nothing good's going to come out of it. I've never gone to an ex's page and been like, I feel better. Right. It's always just like, oh, like you want them to like look unhappy, but no one looks unhappy on Instagram. Everyone pretends they're so happy.
Right. If you feel better, I feel like it's like 5 years later when you wander onto it and the guy is like balding or like he just looks like shittier or his new girlfriend is like disgusting looking or something like that. They're like, they're all these things I feel like that will make you, but they're never like immediate. And it's never like, you never feel better unless you're already over it, I think.
That's a really good point. I think it's just we have to have so much restraint now. We have to have so much self-control because, I mean, just again, after learning how the brain works, this stuff imprints in your brain and it just makes it worse for you.
Right.
Like, I wish we lived in like the 1700s when you broke up with someone and you just never saw them again.
Exactly.
And they died in a war and you just got to be like, ah, I won that round.
Exactly.
But like today, it's like, you know, everything they're doing, you know, and then it says their location of what restaurant they're at and it's near you and you're like, do I swing by? I mean, it's awful.
And then you're going to like that location geotag and looking to see if they're in the background of any of the other pictures. It's just like, it's a crazy.
Oh, that is, I'm sweating. Yeah. I don't like that.
You really can get very deep. I feel like everyone knows like one girl who like can get, like she really can get all the information. Like you like tell her a guy's name, she can get everything.
Like she should work at the CIA.
Exactly. She'd but her skills are like used in the worst way possible. She's They're not like helping America. It's just like helping you like develop an even further nervous breakdown or like get into a fight with someone.
She's like Liam Neeson from Taken. She's like, I have a very specific set of stills.
Skills.
Right. I'm very blurry today.
And those skills are finding out useless information
like,
about
I can
a
get
guy
on private.
2 weeks ago.
I can get on private profiles.
I have like friends like that. It's great. Or like on are you on Venmo?
I am on Venmo. Right. I'm not a fan.
I use it sometimes, but I use it primarily to look at like what my exes are paying people for.
Well, can I tell you, it's a Rorschach test, right? It's like you see like, Lindsay's paying Mark for like the lady in the red dress dancing.
Right. Like, where the fuck are you taking her?
Did she dance for you? Did she do the flamenco and you paid her
$10? Yeah, like, then you create a whole story.
Yeah, or there's just like an emoji of a guy running. It's like, I don't understand. Like, and then I start to project my own shit onto it. So I don't like Venmo for that reason.
I agree. It's like, but guys don't even realize that it's like the number one stalking method. Because it's like,
why would you want, it's such a ridiculous thing now that, why would you want anyone to know what you're paying someone? This is it's huge business. I'm wrong. I'm obviously not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I guess they've made it into a social thing. It's crazy.
I remember I did a show at UCB with BJ Novak, and it was like a go through your phone show where you would take someone's phone and project it on the screen, and we could just go through it.
That's great.
The most embarrassing thing was their Venmo purchases. It wasn't their photos. It wasn't their gross Snapchat, you know, tit pics.
What were they buying?
It was just a morning after pill. It was just like, we were like, what's that for? And it's like, why would you broadcast this to your friends?
They wrote morning after pill?
She wrote like some like ocean baby with an X or something. Like baby emoji and then X emoji.
Have you ever posted something specifically so an ex would see it? Like hoping that they're stalking you?
I feel like I did that in my last breakup, which was like 4 or 5 years ago. I feel like I would post like trying to post like looking really happy.
Right.
You know, which was just sort of
it's so ironic because it's like I'm trying to look happy for you who made me unhappy.
But it's also like, you know, I made me unhappy. I chose to stay in that relationship, you know, and then we got out of it and it's like a maladaptive behavior. If I should be sad.
Right.
We should be sad after breakups.
And not feel like we have to like pretend that we're fine.
So what he saw was a girl pretending to be happy, which is even sadder than just being sad.
The ironic thing is like, yeah, that's really what the more ironic thing is. Like you want to show that you're happy and like are therefore like putting effort into pretending that you are.
And it's so obvious.
And I've done that, obviously.
And and it doesn't hurt him. It just makes he wins because he knows me. If he's hurt,
he knows you well enough to know that you're not really happy.
If he's hurt you, and that means that you guys were really in love, and if you were that in love, he knows what a fake smile versus a real smile looks like. He knows that when I'm actually happy, I look super serious and do like a duck face. And when I'm miserable, I like cheese out and stunt, you know?
Right.
So, and he also really isn't in on Instagram. That's the other thing. Now that there's an algorithm, you don't even know if they're seeing your post.
Right.
You know, so
trying to be wasted effort.
I'm in a recovery program where we don't try to control other people's behavior. So I really can't do stuff like that. I'm not allowed. We try to control.
I need to join that.
But it's just like trying to control other people's behavior with our social media posts is actual insanity. I mean, it's insanity. Have you ever looked at someone's social media? I mean, I look at social media and I get jealous of things I'm not invited to.
Right.
But I've never looked at it and been like, oh, I should get back with that ex.
I don't think I should get back with, but I'm like, oh, that sucks that they like seem like they're like doing well.
Yeah. But I feel bad. Like if I see like, I know a lot of girls who like break up with a guy and then like 3 months later, mm-hmm. he's posting on Instagram with a girl.
Oh yeah.
And then I feel bad for the girl because she's obviously just being used to get back at the guy. Like it all right. just feels so.
She doesn't even know what came before her.
She doesn't even know that I can DM her right now. Yeah, that all just feels so sticky and tricky.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to figure out how to tag people. I'm not great at Instagram.
I'm not great at it either. I have like terrible pictures.
Actually, here's an interesting thing that just worked for me since I feel like I'm a little older than you guys. I met a guy and we've been with for almost a year and a couple months, and we did not follow each other on Instagram until we had been together
like
for
that.
1 year.
That was like a rule?
Yep. It was a rule.
Okay.
We kind of just took it month by month, and then we were together a year and we were like, I think it's time.
But how would you know that he actually liked you if he wasn't putting a picture up? What indicators were you going to get?
How would
if not
I possibly
a public
know if he didn't broadcast our relationship? Yeah. And
how did you deal with not having those likes?
How did I deal with his exes not seeing that I exist? There were no clean motives in it, and it started getting into that sort of like, why aren't you posting? Why aren't right. I posting? Why? Who do you follow? If I look at the people that someone I'm dating follows, I fall out of love with them instantly. So I was just like, stay away from his Instagram, not healthy. If I see a selfie, I'm not going to like him anymore. So we didn't even look at each other's Instagram. He looked at mine, but for like a year.
But you didn't look at it. Was he private?
I didn't look at his. Okay. He's not private. No. Oh.
That's very impressive.
I just didn't want to see some girl who's right. liking him, and it could be, a lesbian at his work for all I know, but I don't want to be like, who's this girl? Like, I just don't want to be that person.
That's so impressive. I feel like it's a modern love story for the digital age.
I think that is a really strong tool. He's also never seen me do stand-up.
Also interesting.
Yeah.
I could see that. I feel like it's like that's the kind of thing where you kind of want to like, you don't want to have to censor yourself.
Correct.
Or worry about what he's thinking about it.
Yeah, you know what someone watched? Do you want your boyfriend standing in while we're doing this podcast right
no.
now?
No.
No.
Although he listens sometimes and I don't like it.
Oh, that's
it's
a nightmare.
Like, I don't want to like have
well,
to.
Well, that means that he loves you unconditionally and that's good.
Oh, I'll tell him that.
Oh. Hey, you love me unconditionally.
He'll be like, oh, I didn't mean to be. I don't know what happened.
I'm just
there.
Trying to make sure you're exactly. not humiliating me. Yeah, I think that I have this like digital guy who helps me. He calls it digital hygiene. Mm-hmm. And that you have to sort of set boundaries on how much you're willing to use the phone and whose stuff you're going to look at. I don't look at anyone that I work with. I don't look at their social.
I love that.
I don't want to know. Because then I see you posting something at 4:30 and I'm like, why aren't you working? Like,
hear
why
that?
Did you post that?
Danny, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I see them. I see all the proof of all the things you did during the day.
Right.
When I am paying you to work.
Yeah, I agree. My sister also works for me. So I'm like, oh, like, it looks like you're not here, but it
what
looks
are you
like
doing?
You're posting some shit on about watching TV. It's like,
where are you?
It looks like you have more time this week to work on that project I gave you.
Yeah. Oh, and you're late on this because right. why? Like, yeah. it's too many trail. There's a digital trail. You don't want to do that.
I
so
agree.
I pick the times that I Instagram. I do it in the morning and then I do it at night and then I try to stay off it for the most part.
I love that. So listen to this advice, guys, if you're listening. Control. Don't let your social media control you. You have to control it, and you have to give it the boundaries.
You're gonna get busted. It happened to me recently. I was like, I had to skip something because it just doesn't matter. And then I was like, I can't make it tonight. And then someone looked at my story and was like, you're somewhere.
Right.
I thought you were gonna you just canceled on me. And then I was like, no, I posted that last night. Or blah. Like I had to I looked like I was lying. I kind of was lying, but like you just have a trail of yourself everywhere. And it's
right.
just you're gonna end up getting fired or broken up with, or
it's gonna catch up with you.
Correct.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so we're going to end with some games. And this is a game we call Red Flag or Deal Breaker.
Okay.
So basically, like, you're dating a guy, mm-hmm. you find out he does this. Is this a deal breaker or just a red flag?
Okay. Just remember that I'm 30 and my bar is a little lower.
Okay, he showers every other day.
Depends on if he works out.
So, but if he does work out...
Because we shower way too much.
You think every day is too often?
You don't need to shower every day. I mean, it depends. You don't.
Would you rather a guy shower every other day or twice a day?
If he works out, he has to shower every day. If he works out every day.
Okay.
He's got to shower after he works out. But he doesn't need to just take a shower every day.
Okay.
In my book.
Dry
shampoo that shit.
Dry shampoo. Okay. What if he's like a compulsive shower? Would you prefer the every other day to the compulsive?
We are in a water crisis.
You guys in California are.
We literally don't have water. My boyfriend does this all the time. He showers before he goes to the gym. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm warming up my muscles. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's amazing.
We're literally in a water. Water's $5 for a bottle. And there will be a day when there is none left.
Here in New York, we don't even think about it. We're just washing our hands all the time.
Constantly. Baby wipe that shit. Purell. Wasteful.
Okay.
Wasteful. I shower once a month.
How are we close to that date right now? Because you smell normal.
Thank you. Pretty good. I did some spray. I
haven't noticed anything.
Fresh spray.
Okay, he uses a fork when eating sushi. He eats sushi with a fork.
I mean... Is that racist?
Is it?
It's a not embracing the culture. It's definitely rejecting the culture. If it's like takeout and like Postmates or Seamless or something brought it over, I swear I'm not a spokesperson for them. And it was just like, eh.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What if you're at a nice sushi place and he's just like, can I get a fork? And he's eating like sashimi with a fork. Just like putting it right in there.
I'm a pretty forgiving person. I'm fine with it.
I'm so laid back.
We're too hard on guys. We're too hard on them for all the... Like, if he's not a sexual predator, a nice guy, makes his own money, is nice to his mother, doesn't cheat, and eats sushi with his fork, add to cart. I'm fine with it.
Okay. And showers at least once every month, I would say.
Unless you spilled sushi all over yourself because you ate it with a fork like an asshole.
Exactly.
But yes. Yeah, I think we just got to be nicer. We got to be a little more patient.
I agree with that. And then guys will do the same for us.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Yeah. I don't want to be put under that microscope. If I want to eat sushi with a fork, because I have carpal tunnel syndrome from texting, I might want the permission to do that.
Yeah, you guys will just go for like Italian more. It's fine.
Yes.
You know.
We'll go for Italian more.
Okay, he exclusively wears like snarky graphic tees.
Snarky like... I'm with stupid.
Like that kind of thing.
And it's not ironic. It's not like normcore hipster ironic. It's like,
no,
real.
It's like sassy.
That would be hard for me.
Even though we just had the discussion where you're like, we just got to let everyone be who they are.
It would be hard for me because I'm a comedian. So it's like,
it'd be hard to not make fun of him constantly.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I make fun of everything my boyfriend wears anyway, constantly. There's no snarky graphics, but I should at least be able to say, like, you know that you look like a guy from Lollapalooza 96, right? Like, I should at least, and if he can't take a joke about it, he doesn't have a good sense of humor about himself.
That's the real deal breaker. That's the real deal breaker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the way we're analyzing these because it's really about the bigger picture.
You can't, I mean, you guys are younger than me. Like, in my 20s, I've spent way too much time on little things that don't matter at all. And blew them up. You know, I think it's important to have a right-sized reaction. Like a t-shirt a guy wears, shoes you don't like, you can handle those. The guy that I'm with, who I'm madly in love with, he had a pair of shorts in the beginning that were just, they were tricky, tricky shorts. They were a bummer, and I was like...
What was wrong with them?
You and me, they were like camo with the biggest pockets on the side you've ever seen. And it was like, look, you and me are going to have our day. it's not going to be now. I'm going to, these shorts will go. Like, you just have to be patient. Like, you can't just come at them and be like, these shorts have to go.
Right.
He slowly made it his idea.
Right.
And the shorts are no longer with us.
I like that. You got to, like, change them slowly to where they don't even know that they're changed.
You make it their idea.
Yeah.
Is what you do. You know, because you can't attack people. No one wants to get attacked. No one wakes up and says, I'm going to wear a shitty outfit today.
Yeah.
If someone's wearing what they're wearing, it means they like it, you know?
Right.
So I think it's just about being.
You have to make a series of small disparaging comments until they eventually
brainwashing.
Feel like
it's their you just have
idea.
To shame them. Micro-shaming.
Micro-shaming. I love that. Micro-shaming.
And,
that's an amazing term.
Yeah. So just like little micro shames until literally one day he's like, I should throw these away. I'm like, if you want to, it's up to you. You have to just sort of, you know, you can't attack people. They don't like it.
Noted.
Men have feelings. They pretend that they don't, you know.
But they're actually sensitive.
They are very sensitive. Right. We talk about this in the Female Brain movie. And you guys have so much toxic masculinity and pressure on you. But no one wants to be. What if I just like your shirt's ugly?
It's just unnecessarily hurtful, like
coming at you like that. And just because of the guy, I feel like we shame men all the time, and it's just like
right,
funny.
We assume they don't care.
Yeah, but just like that shirt's ugly. We just assume that you're tough and you can handle it. And
your shirt's great, Danny.
And you can't come back at me because of the women's movement. I can sue you if you say anything to me that hits me. You know, like it's weird. This weird.
Yeah,
time.
It works both ways.
Yeah,
I think.
We
all need to be a little more sensitive.
Let's not be assholes. To each other. It'll be nice to each other. I just did make a big mistake in a relationship where I, you know, I'm a comedian and I do roasts and I joke and I used to always just like roast him. And he said to me one day, this actually changed my life. I don't know if this is the kind of podcast that this is tonally.
Yeah.
But this changed my life. One day he looked at me and he goes, you know what? You're a bully.
I've gotten that before.
And I was like, whoa, you're right. I just assumed because you were a guy that you could take it.
Right. Yeah, I think we don't even realize because we just assume that men.
I'm funny and snarky.
And
you're
tough.
Like that,
right?
And like, this is my brand.
And this is our little like back and forth. Like,
this
you
is
like
what we
it.
Do.
Right?
Yeah. No, he's like, I don't. Like, you're mean. Who said that? Was it a boyfriend or a friend?
It was a guy that I was dating. He's like, you're like kind of an asshole.
Wow. Because it's like,
and that gets, and then you change, you understand
you
that,
go
and
like,
you speak to people in a nicer
way. I thought
you
thought this was funny,
yeah.
And then they're like, you insulting? Why would that be funny?
Right,
you know?
It's not fun. It's fun to make fun of other people together. It's not fun to make fun of each other.
Nailed it.
Right.
Nailed it. Don't roast your boyfriend.
Right. Roast like the like
people at the airport.
Waiter.
The guy in the Crocs at Cinnabon. Like,
exactly.
Make fun of that guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the your own home and in your relationship, the person should feel
support
safe.
Support each other.
Yeah,
right.
They shouldn't feel like they're getting like torn apart, you know, by Joan Rivers on the red carpet.
Right.
Like nobody, that's not fun for anybody.
Yeah, you want someone who's like a little loving to be like next to you for the rest of your life.
I was so dysmorphic. Like I thought I was like being hilarious and charming. And,
right.
Like, we rib
and
each
smart
other.
And witty.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
No.
And that's just our
like,
thing. Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you yelling? At me.
Yeah, and it's not. I think when you do that, you're less likely to get something back that's like loving and nice. And I think before you've ever had that, for me, I like was never like in a relationship where people were like compassionate and sweet.
Yeah.
And then once I had it, I'm like, oh my god, this is so much better than just someone like making fun of me constantly in a smart and funny way.
Yeah, and it's also like if that was 2% less funny, it would actually just be verbal abuse. Like the only reason
it's only not abusive because it's funny.
You're exactly.
Yeah,
you're only getting away with it because you're kind of sarcastic and like doing this with your shoulders and like, you know, because I do this for a living. If anybody else said it, it would just be like abusive, you know.
Right.
So I'm really just working on restraint in that part of my life and like not having to perform all the time and like poke at people and make fun of people. And
I'm working on that too. I think that's a good.
Just when in doubt, shut up.
That's great. All right. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming on. This
Thanks.
Was amazing.
I love you guys. I love Batches. I'm such a big fan.
We love you too. And we're excited to see your movie and it's going to be great. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Bye.
Batches.